In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In our modern time of tons of distractions and worries, especially in this last push before the Lord's nativity, His birth, it's easy for us to forget why we celebrate this holiday at all, why we're getting ready, why Christ was born, why He came among us as a helpless, defenseless baby in a dank cave that was used as a barn for animals with a feeding trough as a crib. Why did that happen? What are we celebrating? In St. Paul's, hopefully, I hope you listen. You know, we say, let us attend. Like that says, let's pay attention to the readings when the reader, like Reader Andrew read today. It's so beautiful and helpful. St. Paul said, Christ appears so that we may appear with Him in glory. Amen. So why is God coming? Why did God become a man? So that we, sinful, broken people, can appear with Him in glory. So both the first coming of His birth, which we're about to celebrate, and the second coming of His return, when He'll come again, these all happen for one reason. So that we can share in that salvation. But here's the rub. Here's the struggle. To share in that, who doesn't want to share in that? Everyone wants to hear about that. But to share in it, to encounter Christ on Christmas, and certainly to encounter Him when He comes again in glory, is to kind of undergo a kind of judgment. A judgment of who we are in our souls. For when we're in the presence of Christ, the truth of who we are and all of our wretchedness is very obvious. There's no hiding like we do to the world. And how we respond to Him in these feasts in Christmas, in this holy, beautiful time, reflects what's going on behind the scenes deep in your heart, in our souls. The same is true for how we're going to receive Him in this blessed season of the Advent, this fasting time. We've been fasting for 30-something days, getting our hearts ready. For what? To be with Him in glory. Most of us don't think of it this way. Throughout the history of the Old Testament, which we all need to know better, there were those who ignored God. There's always been people who ignored God, because people have freedom. But thank God, there's always people who were ready, who were listening to the Word of God, alongside of those who didn't prepare or love God or love the prophets. It was the case for thousands of years of the Jews. It was also the case when, during the life of Jesus on this earth, when He was incarnate 2,000 years ago, some loved Him, wise men sought Him, Herod tried to kill Him. This is the nature of fallen human nature and freedom. On this day in the church, this second Sunday before Christmas, the church is getting us ready, right? And this is always called the Sunday of the forefathers. What does that mean? Remember all those people who didn't forget God among all the rabble, among all the confusion. They had a shadow of what we have, and they clung to that shadow. And it made them holy. And they didn't forget about God and His Word. They prepared, not just their own hearts, but they prepared the way for us, right? To prepare the way for the coming from the seed of David to bring forth the Mother of God, and to bring forth the living God, Jesus Christ. Who do we celebrate today? From Adam and Eve on, there were these incredible people that most of us don't know enough about. These righteous men and women. In their lives, they were incredible, but they were a prefiguring, a foreshadowing of Christ. Listen, Abel, right, who was slain by his brother Cain, he's a prefiguration of Christ, who was also murdered by man out of envy. Melchizedek, that mysterious figure, the priest, right, of Salem, he prefigures Christ as the high priest you see behind the altar. Christ, the only priest. We have Enoch and Elijah, those mysterious men who were taken up to heaven. We never heard about their death. And they prefigure Christ, who was taken up into heaven. We have Noah, whose family survived the flood, alone, their prefiguration of the baptism, of the purification of Christ that saves us. We have Job, in the story of Job, we call him the long-suffering. He prefigures the incredible suffering of our God, Jesus Christ. We have Abraham, the father of nations, who was asked the most terrible thing, to sacrifice his son, Isaac. And that prefigures the sacrifice that God the Father made when he offered his son. We have Jacob, these incredible people. He prefigures Christ. Why? He saw in a dream, it's called Jacob's ladder, you heard of that? The ladder from earth to heaven. Who is who? Christ. Right? He descended to us so we can ascend back to heaven. Christ is that ladder. We have Joseph, the comely, who was betrayed by his 12 brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery. And he prefigures Christ, who was betrayed by his own disciple. Moses, the great leader, he was given the 10 commandments on Mount Sinai. These are the great commandments until Christ gave the Beatitudes, right? So those 10 commandments prefigured the law of Christ. Moses, when you come up to church on the right side of the stairs, when you come up to church from now on, look at the icon on your right hand side in the landing. It's Moses taking off his shoes at the burning bush. And who's in the burning bush? The mother of God. Moses saw this bush that was burning, but wasn't being consumed. And the virgin's womb, you see above the altar, it bore the living God. No one should survive that. It burned and yet was unconsumed, so to speak, by the fire of Christ. Joshua. A lot of people know the name Josh and Joshua and don't know the incredible person behind these names. By the way, it's the same name, Yeshua, right? The same way name is Jesus. We just use it differently. The same name of Christ. It means Savior because Joshua is the deliverer of his people. Of course, our Lord is the deliverer of his people. We have David, a man after God's heart, related to by blood to Christ. If you read the Psalms of David, nothing but prophecy of Christ's coming down to us. Solomon wrote his great wisdom book. He's told forth the wisdom of God who would come. The prophet Daniel, he saw the Holy Trinity, even in the Old Testament, through the three holy youths in the furnace. That's the other side when you come up the stairs, brothers and sisters. On this side, when you come up the stairs, you have Moses in the burning bush. Other side, you have the three holy youths, right? Who were in the furnace of Babylon, and God, as an icon of the Trinity, appeared to them. How beautiful. The prophet Isaiah, you should read his book, he foresaw the suffering servant, God, which is our Lord. The prophet Jonah, who is maligned in our society and, you know, misunderstood, his 3 days in the belly of the whale prefigures the Lord's 3 days in the tomb. I could go on and on. And that's just some of the men. There's incredible women. The holy foremothers, Sarah, Rebecca, Ruth, Deborah, Naomi, I mean, incredible saints. And many more. We celebrate all those saints today. And in fact, this is our spiritual family. We don't know how rich we are, how we're never alone. We have an incredible spiritual family of all the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, bursting the kingdom of heaven within you. But we're so unaware of this often in our attachment to the world. Why are they special? Because they saw, long before you and I were born, they foresaw the one that we love and confess, and who is the Savior, Christ. They saw him, they prepared the way for him so that us and our children and our grandchildren can have salvation. So the first, when the Lord first came as a baby, we're celebrating, it wasn't just a random event one day 2,000 years ago. No, it was a fulfillment of God's beautiful plan, right? To invite us back to life, right? And it took a long time, many generations of holy people, and some of them aren't so holy, harlots, sinners. David was a sinner. God wasn't afraid to use sinful people as conduits of his grace. No one was forced to prepare the way for God. But today we honor those of the Old Testament who accepted the invitation of the Messiah. We want to be like them. We want to use this season we're given, even if it was 9 days left till Christmas, the prayer, fasting, giving to the poor, actually praying, confessing, asking forgiveness, calling someone we haven't forgiven, reconciling, to be like them. It's more difficult. Why is it so hard for us to do? Why isn't it so easy? Because we're constantly facing temptations to focus on other things. Heard in the gospel today. Today's gospel is a little bit scary and beautiful, right? Everyone was invited to a great feast, right? Like the guests were all invited. They all had something better to do than to go be with the king. And we're off in the same way. They turned down the invitation because they had land to inspect, oxen to test, family. We could say our business is more important, our health is more important, something always more important. Please get me excused. In other words, they were normal by the worldly standards. Come on, Father, we're just normal people. We can't do all this. Come on. That's exactly the mentality that these people had. And they were not at the banquet. So their places were filled with other people at the banquet. And the most unlikely people, the poor, the retarded, the maimed, the broken, the blind, the strangers, the weirdos, the homeless. They came to the celebration. But none of those who were the most beloved and most invited bothered to show up. The Lord in the gospel often uses this image of a great feast for the kingdom of God. And, you know, this parable reminds us that the Jews weren't ready to receive him as the Messiah, while many sinful, disreputable people, tax collectors, prostitutes, Gentiles, no one expected, they loved him and they received him. And whether they did so or not, that was their judgment, so to speak, in a certain sense. It revealed the state of their souls. Unfortunately, most of us often act like those same people who refuse to attend the banquet, and we use the common concerns of life as excuses not to appear with the Lord in glory. We forget that's the reason for coming to church and fasting and praying, is not to like work and be down and be grumpy and it's hard and take you away from your other stuff. It's so that you can appear in glory with Christ. We choose not to participate in the healing and all the blessings that He gives to us when we come. Instead of making everything in our daily work, go to work, do your business, go to school, by all means, of course. But we could make everything in our day, and in our family, and in our health, or our sickness, we could make those constant opportunities to be aware of God and to grow towards the kingdom and prepare for Him. But instead, we often have those things take us away from God. And in fact, they become these false gods that judge us. And you know what they do? When we say no to the banquet of God and yes to all these worldly things, our soul is very obvious to the Lord. And we shut ourselves out of the banquet and we turn away from the glory that's offered in Christ. In the reading that Andrew read today, Reader Andrew, St. Paul told the Colossians, it was a letter to the people like the homily is, prepare to meet Christ. How? Put your sins to death. For your sins are idolatry and they keep us away from the holy joy of the kingdom. Anger, slander, sexual immorality, covetousness, greediness, these are all symptoms of that old nature that Christ came to heal as a baby, as the second new Adam. These weeks we've been praying and fasting, these last week, it calls us to prepare, not haphazardly, intentionally, seriously, to welcome Christ at His birth. But if you don't actively and make it a priority to prepare, you'll get so distracted and so weakened by the flesh and by temptations and by distractions that, dare I say, you'll have little interest in being in His presence and will be cast out of the banquet. You won't even want to be there. It's very easy for me as a priest, any of us, to fall into these temptations, because why? There's much in us that does not want the truth about our souls revealed to Christ. We hide from God all the time. Hi, God, you probably can't see me right now. I'm sinning. Kids laugh at this, but adults do the same thing. We act like God doesn't see our minds when we have lustful thoughts, when we judge Him, we tear Him apart. We think we hide from Him. By the way, you can't hide from people. People can sense it too, but certainly God. Unlike the guests in the parable, we should know that the cares of life in no way hide the state of our soul. The more we do it, make false gods out of people, our responsibilities, whatever life happens to bring, we all have different lives, the more we turn away from the banquet of Christ. The more we say, you know what, I'm just going to be the way I am, just who I am. I'm going to embrace my pride and my lust and my anger and my greed and whatever I do. The more you're going to actually believe that that's happiness. That'll be the banquet in your mind. And church and Christ will look like a hassle. And here's the important thing. We think, I'm not very sinful. I'm not a bad person. I love God. I love people. Here's the deal, though. We don't have to appear, you know, spectacularly sinful before others for this to happen. Right? There's much in our culture that encourages us to worship work. Worship our problems. Worship our pastimes. And whatever gives us momentary pleasure. So you might be full of your passion, but the world thinks you're doing just great because they're sucked into the same sickness. It's so easy for me too, and alluring to become just like the people in today's parable. They really believed they had better things to do than to come to the great joy of the Lord's banquet, the King's banquet. But to live this way is so foolish. It's to shut ourselves out of the glory that Christ came to give us. It really is a sentence. You're sentencing yourself. Hell is, the doors of hell are locked from the inside. It sentences ourselves to misery and decay of those who don't want to be truly fed. Christmas, we call it nativity, it's a banquet. Holy Communion is a banquet, a great feast. It's a celebration. The world, eggnog, doing their parties, getting excited. They're going to be super excited. It's all about material things and gifts. And there's some good things in giving gifts, of course, and being with your friends and family and food and drink. Those are beautiful and glorious. But a couple days later, come New Year's, the tree's back in the box or out in the back, and everyone's back to their depressed mode again. Not us. It has to be an incredible celebration for you and your family that God has come down to us and is going to heal us. No matter whether you've been good at the fast so far or you've blown it, we all have the ability to use the next few days given to us to prepare to appear in glory with Christ. It's not about legalism, by the way. You know, check this box off and Jesus loves you. And then it's not like that. It's about our hearts. Are you open to the mercy of God? Do you actually want to sit at the table of Christ? Do you want to meet Him when you die? Do you want to have your life changed? How you prepare in the next week and what you do on that morning of Christmas, whether you decide to stay in bed rather than to come to church and worship God, that reveals the state of your soul. It makes you naked before God. We all weaken ourselves through sinning. We all need to confess our sins. We all need to repent and be in confession before Christmas comes. Because we encounter this Lord in our suffering neighbors, we need to give. We're so stingy and greedy. I was so struck by that with some people I was talking to. A homeless guy came by and I gave him a dollar or whatever, and they said, "Don't give it to him. He'll use it on booze." And I said, "Maybe he needs a beer. You know? Who are you to judge this man? You have no idea what his life is. A dollar's not going to destroy someone. Maybe just the love of giving it. That you didn't judge that person, but you judged him immediately." We need to really confess that we're so stingy with our resources, our time, our attention to God, attention to people that need us, to our children, to our spouses. Why? Because we're just self-focused. Me, me, me. We're self-enslaved, right, to our desires. That's why fasting is so good, to say no to yourself a little bit, right? What you give attention to shows what you love. If you say, "Oh, I love God," but you don't go to church very much and you don't pray, you're a liar. If you say you love your wife, but you don't do anything nice for her, you don't dote on her, you don't do anything kind for her, you don't take her on dates, you're a liar. Talk is cheap. Right? If you say, I love the poor, you don't help anybody, right? That should accuse all of us fall short. Me too. Especially me. That's why we need this fasting time. That's why I need confession. I need repentance. And when you repent like that and realize, gosh, I don't have love for God. Gosh, I don't love other people. Gosh, I'm so selfish. I'm really messed up. I really need to go to church. Ding. You are more humble. And now the newborn Christ can come right into your heart and change you. Before that, you think you're fine. You think, God, I'm a good person. I got it all worked out. You don't need God. What we do in this next week, we attend to with our hearts and our minds, we'll decide the rest. We're all distracted. Me above all, we need to watch. You're invited to an incredible banquet, brothers and sisters. An incredible banquet. In this liturgy, every liturgy, we often take it for granted, going to church on Sunday, in the body and blood of Jesus Christ, if you eat this bread, you will live forever. If you're going to live forever, it's a promise of eternal life. What are you doing being afraid of dying? What are you afraid of a little suffering for? We don't believe it, do we? We're not really present and mindful at the banquet, are we? Imagine if we were a little more attentive, a little more gospel reading this week, a little less TV and nonsense. I'm not going to look at that bad stuff on the internet. I'm not going to judge that person. I'm going to stop that sin. I'm going to sit and read the Bible with my kids. I'm going to go to church more. I'm going to go to confession. Do you know your life can change so radically with just little changes? Christmas is going to be here like that. And how you and I respond shows God how I want to live. My question for myself every time right about now is, have I wasted this time? Am I ready to meet Him? I certainly hope so. I hope that each of us is. So you wonder why Father Paul and I preach a lot. Sometimes we seem tough and we seem pray and fast and do it. We're not trying to exhaust you. We're not trying to make life harder. Quite the contrary, dear ones. We want to make life easier. If you fast, then you're relieved from your addictions. And that's real relief. Right? If you pray, there's no anxiety because you realize that God has you in His hands. And there's no greater feeling. From the outside, it looks like, do more work, give more money, suffer, right? That's because we're very worldly and we think happiness is this, this, and this. We have to change the way we think. Because we want to appear in glory with Christ. That's why we celebrate these holy people from the Old Testament. They had so little and yet did so much. And we have everything. We have the living God. We have this holy church. We have this community that loves each other. We have all the medicine to be healed, starting with baptism, confession, repentance, fasting, prayer, reading the Psalms. We have so much medicine. We had the most beautiful meal, so to speak, laid out to us. My prayer for myself and for each of us is that we don't make excuses to miss the banquet. Paradise. If you find the jazz game or a corporate meal with your job or the gym or something else always more important than God, and that'll be your lowly dog food banquet. And then, by the way, nothing wrong with the gym or with a jazz game, but they're in the wrong place. You see what I mean? We all make idols. May we throw away our idols in this time, and let's set up an altar of one God, one Lord, Jesus Christ. That's why He's coming. To make us, He wants to present us on the last day, on the final day when everyone is judged. He wants each of you to appear in glory with Him, in the greatest joy forever and ever. We're getting ready for Christ to be born. My prayer as your priest is that it would be a real birth. Not just like a happy Christmas, but it would be that Christ is actually born in your heart. Maybe you pray for the first time and feel Him. Maybe you repent and feel that first thing of repentance. This is worth everything. This is the beginning of eternity in this life. May Christ be born in our hearts. May we be ready to always say yes to the banquet of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.